Welcome to the Sableton Live 12 lesson on funky drummer style bassline pull for jungle and old school DNB vibes. In this one, we're going after that classic push-pull feeling where the bass doesn't just sit under the drums, it reacts to them. It ducks, leans forward, backs off, then snaps back in with attitude. That's the kind of movement that makes a breakbeat tune feel alive. A big thing to understand right away is this. A bass pull is not just volume automation. If you only turn the bass down, it can feel flat and obvious. What we want is a combination of things working together. We want the bass to get darker, tighter, narrower, a little less aggressive, and then open back up when it returns. That's the real illusion of weight shifting around the drum groove. So let's build this from the ground up. First, set your tempo somewhere in the jungle and old school DNB zone, around 165 to 174 BPM. If you want a more classic jungle feel, stay closer to 160 to 170. If you want it a bit more modern and driving, go up to 172 or 174. Then load in a breakbeat. A funky drummer style break is perfect here because it has those ghost notes and syncopated accents that give the bass something to respond to. Keep the break fairly dry at first so you can hear the relationship clearly. Now create your bass source. You can do this with a synth or with a resampled bass hit. If you want a clean starting point, use Waveatable, a simple saw on oscillator 1, a square or slightly detuned saw on oscillator 2, and a low-pass filter will give you a solid bass foundation. Keep the amp envelope fairly short and controlled. Fast attack, a moderate decay, decent sustain, and a fairly short release. You want it tight enough to breathe around the drums. If you already have a Reis one-shot or a bass sample you like, you can use Simpler instead. Load it in. Set it to one-shot or classic mode, and shape it into a playable tone. Either way works. The main thing is that the source should be simple enough to transform with macros. Next, build your processing chain. A really useful order here is EQ8, saturator, auto filter, compressor or glue compressor, and utility. You can also add something like roar or redux if you want extra grit. With EQ8, clean up the low end if needed. You can gently high-pass any useless rumble around 25 or 30 Hz. If the bass is getting muddy, cut a bit in the 200 to 350 Hz area. If it needs more weight, a small boost around 80 to 120 Hz can help. The important thing is not to over-EQ. We're shaping, not sterilizing. Then add saturator. A little drive goes a long way here. Try somewhere in the 2 to 6 dB range, and turn on soft clip if you want a bit of extra bite. This is one of those classic old-school moves where the bass starts to feel a little more hardware-like and urgent. Autofilter is one of your main pull tools. A low-pass 12 or 24 dB filter works great. Add a bit of resonance so the cutoff movement has character. We're not trying to make it squeaky or obvious, just expressive enough that the bass can close down and reopen in a musical way. Compression can be gentle, especially if you want the bass to sit with the break rather than crush it. Use a compressor or glue compressor, and if you sidechain it lightly from the kick or the break, even better. Keep the attack and release musical. You want bounce, not squashing. Utility is really important too. Use it to keep the low end mono, and to give yourself a clean gain or width control. If you want the bass to feel more open in the mids but still solid in the sub, utility is a great macro target. Now the fun part. Group the chain into an instrument rack or audio effect rack and start mapping macros. This is where you turn a static bass into a playable jungle tool. Map macro 1 to pull. This should be your main movement control. Link it to filter cutoff, utility gain, and maybe a little saturator drive. When pull goes up, the bass should feel like it steps back. When it comes down, the bass should lean forward again. Map macro 2 to tone. Use this for darker to brighter movement. You can link it to filter cutoff, Waveatable position if you're using Waveatable, or a subtle EQ presence boost. Map macro 3 to bite. This can control distortion amount, roar drive, or a slight shift in compressor behavior. This is the aggression knob. Map macro 4 to width. Keep the low end focused, but let the upper bass open out if needed. If you use any chorus or widening effect, make sure it only affects the upper layer, not the sub. Map macro 5 to sub focus. This should bring the bottom back in when you need more weight for a drop or a phrase ending. And if you want a sixth macro, map rhythm to filter envelope amount or a movement rate control, especially if you're using any LFO style modulation. That can help the bass feel like it's dancing with a groove. Here's the key idea. A bass pull should feel like a musician performing against the break, not like a robot drawing automation lines. Think of the bass as something that can lean forward, recoil, and snap back. That's the vibe. So when you automate the pull macro, don't just do one smooth curve for the whole track. Make it conversational. Hit the bass hard on the downbeat. Pull it back slightly on the next 1/8 or 1/16, then let it come back in before the snare or at the end of the phrase. That back and forth motion is what gives the tune its tension. If your bass is MIDI, note length matters a lot too. Short notes give you tighter energy. Longer notes can swell into the break. Lower velocity on the pulled back notes helps them sit behind the drums naturally. That's a subtle move, but it makes a huge difference. You can also use the filter envelope shape as part of the performance. A slightly darker or shorter note feels like it is pulling away. A brighter accent feels like it is pushing forward. That contrast is the secret sauce. Now let's talk resampling, because this is where the lesson really becomes jungle. Route the bass track to a new audio track set to resampling, and record a few passes while you move the macros in real time. Don't just do one pass. Do several. Record one version that's more low-end heavy, one that has more bite, and one that's more restrained. That gives you options. This is important because resampling captures the actual performance. It prints the saturation behavior, the compressor movement, the exact filter sweeps, and the way the bass interacts with the break. That's the kind of detail that starts to sound like classic jungle production. Once you've got the audio, chop it up. Consolidate the best parts. Split the clip into phrases. Add tiny fades to avoid clicks. Try reversing small tails for that suck-in effect. You can even time stretch or micro-edit a pulled bass hit to create more tension. A really effective arrangement move is to turn the bass into a question and answer. Maybe the first bar is pulled back and sparse. The next bar answers with more full range weight. Then you drop out the bass for a beat and let the break breathe. That empty space can hit harder than any extra note. Remember, in old school D&B, variation matters. Don't just loop the same bass bar forever. Use resampled versions with different levels of pull. Alternate between aggressive and restrained clips. Let the arrangement evolve. That's what gives it that hands-on, chopped and rebuilt character. When combining the bass with the break, keep the sub-mono and leave room for the snare crack. If the kick is strong, carve a little space around 50 to 90Hz. If the break is thick in the low mids, reduce the bass around 180 to 300Hz. And if you sidechain, keep it light. Old school jungle often feels more like rhythmic negotiation than obvious pump. Here's a pro coaching note. If the bass still sounds static, the fix is usually not more effects. It's more contrast. More difference between the pulled and unpulled states. More difference in note length, brightness, density, and width. That contrast is what creates motion. You can also get more advanced with two-state macro behavior. For example, let the pull macro mostly control filter and tone in the lower range, but once it turns further, let it also reduce width and push distortion harder. That way the bass evolves as the macro moves instead of just hitting louder or quieter. Another great idea is to split the bass into layers. Keep a clean sub layer and a distorted mid layer. Let the sub stay focused while the mid layer takes the movement and grit. That gives you a much bigger and more controlled pull effect. And if you want even more jungle flavor, add tiny transient clicks, subtle pitch envelopes, or band-limited distortion on the mids. Those details can make the bass feel more alive after resampling. For the arrangement, think in phrases. One section can be darker and narrower. Another can open up with more bite. Another can be stripped back so the break gets all the space. Then bring the bass back in with more presence for the drop. That call and response relationship is the heartbeat of the style. So to wrap it up, the big lesson here is this. In jungle and old school D&B, the bass should feel performed. Macro controls in Ableton Live 12 let you shape that performance in a really expressive way. Combine filter movement, saturation, width, gain, note length, and resampling, and you get that classic push-pull energy that makes the drums and bass feel like they're talking to each other. Now here's your practice challenge. Build a 4-bar loop at around 170 BPM. Use a funky drummer-style break, create a simple bass patch, map at least 4 macros, and automate pull so the bass opens on the hit, closes after, and opens back up at the phrase end. Then resample it. Cut the best bar into 2 versions, one more aggressive and one more pulled back, and alternate them across the loop. If you can make the bass feel like it's leaning into the drums and then backing off without obvious pumping, you've got the move. That's the sound. That's the vibe. And once you start resampling your macro moves, you'll really hear the jungle energy come alive.